words probably the most familiar, definitely the most familiar words from Genesis 5, verse 21, following, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The very first Sunday that we came as a family to Netley, long before you called us as a family to come and serve here, we spent the day as a family with Janice and with John in Bitton. And after lunch, John decided to show us the delights of Bitton. And he took us to the graveyard that backed on to the end of their garden. And it was a fascinating graveyard, I have to admit. There was a tombstone of someone who'd been on the Titanic and other very interesting tombstones to look at and to study. Apparently one of my cousins who'd preached before here had stayed with John, and they were just taken up with graveyards. They studied these things. There's a special name for it. I can't remember what it is, and I guess John assumed it ran in the family. It didn't, but it was very, very interesting. Walking round old graveyards is interesting. You read things about the people. You think, oh, that person might have been a Christian. There's a verse there. There's a hymn. And you get the facts as well. When they were born, when they died, some things about their lives. And in many ways, Genesis chapter 5 is like the graveyard of Genesis. And you're walking through it and you're seeing all these memorials to these famous Old Testament people, and you're seeing their names there. Here's Adam and Seth and Enosh, and we go right through to Noah, although Noah hasn't died by the end of chapter 5. He's still alive, and we carry on into chapter 6, and we're reading more things about Noah. He is, verse 8, a person who found favor in the sight of God. We're given these little glimpses of these people, and suddenly we get a glimpse of the times that they're living in as well in chapter 6. In verse 5, we're reading about how awful the days were. The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and the Lord was sorry that he'd made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. Then verse 11, the earth was corrupt in God's sight. The earth was filled with violence. We're seeing that, you know, these people are, certainly toward the end of chapter 5, are living their lives out in a really sick society. A time of unparalleled spiritual darkness. So bad that in the middle of Noah's life, God just says, that's it. I'm stepping in, and there's going to be a judgment, the like of which won't be again until the final day. And the final judgment. And here we've got a godly family, a thin godly family stretching through these times of great wickedness. And we read about each one, and God tells us a number of facts. A very strict pattern is followed. We're told how old they were when they had their first son, what the name of the first son was, how long they lived after their first son. They had sons and daughters, the total number of years that they lived, and then the fact they died. And the formula is adhered to really strictly until we come to Enoch. When we come to Enoch, we don't read that he lived, we read that he walked with God. Jared lived, and Methuselah lived, and Lamech lived, but Enoch walked with God, and he didn't die. Every other one of the tombstones in Genesis 5 have got three words carved at the bottom, and they're reminding us of the terrible effects of sin. It's there on Adam's tombstone here, and he died. First man who was created. And it's there for all of them except Enoch. And that's really exciting because we've gone from grave to grave and there's a body under each tombstone. And we get to Enoch and it's telling us there's no body there. Because he didn't die. God took him. And he took him straight into heaven. One moment he was walking with God on earth and then he walked through the cloud. And he went home to be with God in heaven. I'll try and remember to say something about that at the end, why God did that. But God intends you to notice that there is something that stands out, even in the godly line of Seth, about this man, Enoch. And it's summed up as these simple words repeated twice over. He walked with God. And that's what I want you to focus on this evening. That's what I want to focus on this evening. We are people who can walk with God. This is what I want for myself more and more. It's what I want for you. You can do it in difficult times because Enoch was doing it in difficult times. It hasn't just got to be easy for you to be able to walk with God. You can walk with God in the midst of real storms. In fact, that's when you know his presence the closest quite often. But I want you to be walking with God. And let's start with the question, what does it mean to walk with God? That's a really valid question. If we can't see what Enoch was doing here, if we don't understand what he was doing, then we can't learn very much from him. And I'll start by saying that walking with God is living a life which is bringing pleasure to God. That is quite remarkable. It is possible for God to be pleased with the lives of men and women. God's got everything that he can take pleasure in. God can look at the Grand Canyon anytime and say, that's great, I did that. God can look at Everest and you can take pleasure in Everest and the planets and the galaxies. You can look at that and you can take pleasure in that. God can look at himself and take supreme pleasure in all that God is. And yet, God loves to take pleasure as he looks at your life and my life. He was pleased with Enoch. I'm not making this up. Some of you looking a little bit skeptical. I'm not making it up. God told me that he was pleased with Enoch. And Dan read it from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. And it said, by faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He couldn't be found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. See? God took delight in Enoch's life and in Enoch's company and in his presence and walking with him. And that now makes me ask another question. How can I please God? What was the secret of Enoch's life that allowed him to please God? Was it that he just built the most spectacular temples wherever he went? God just loved Enoch's temples. Or was it that he offered the biggest sacrifices always? I mean, Methuselah was okay, but if you wanted a really great sacrifice, then you had to go to Enoch. Was it that he gave the most? Was it that he spent his days helping old ladies across the busy dual carriageways of Mesopotamia? Well, he might well have done all of those things. But that wasn't the secret of his life. Again, the writer to the Hebrews tells us the secret was faith. God was pleased with Enoch because Enoch was a man who trusted God, who went to God in faith. Verse 5, the end of that verse. he was taken, he was commended as a one who pleased God, and without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And that is the sum and the substance of the Christian life. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Enoch pleased God because he was living by faith. I have no problems with saying Enoch was a Christian. When Moses says that he was walking with God, it tells us that he was trusting God. And that God and Enoch were in a right relationship together. That's the first thing that has to be put in place. And only faith can do that from our perspective. By nature, we're not in a right relationship with God. We're at war with God, and that prevents us walking with God. You can't walk peacefully together with someone that you're at war with, can you? And we've been at war with God because we've rebelled against God. You know what happens in the opening chapters of Genesis? God creates Adam, he's perfect. He does walk with God. They walk together in paradise. He has communion with God and fellowship with God. And everything's perfect and harmonious, and man fulfills what he was created for, which is to know God and glorify God and enjoy God forever. And then Adam just rejects God. He listens to Satan and he does what's wrong in God's sight. He wants to push God away and do his own thing. And he's suddenly wrong with God. And then on that day, in the cool of the evening, there's a sound in the garden where he lives. It's God coming, as he always did, to walk with Adam. And Adam flees from God. And he hides because they're wrong. And he's prevented from having this perfect relationship that he had before. And the legacy that Adam leaves is that we run from God. We can't walk with God. If we're not right with God, how can we possibly walk with him? Amos says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? Well, something's got to happen for us to come back to God so that we can begin to walk with God. What can happen? Well, the only thing that can happen is that we can come to God on his terms and we can trust him. It's not a matter of saying, if I want God to be pleased with me and to accept me, I've got to do more things. I've got to try harder. I've got to turn over another new leaf. That won't bring us back to God. The only thing, Hebrews says, that will bring us to God so that we can walk with God and God can be pleased and take pleasure in our lives is faith. I just love to think how this worked out in Enoch's life, because the one who would bring Enoch to God wouldn't be born for thousands of years. He was in heaven already, God's eternal son. And I think God told Enoch what he was going to do through Jesus. And Enoch's faith reached out into the future and held on to what God was going to do. You're in a more blessed position. You reach back to what God has done. And you see how it's all been done. And you exercise faith in a complete salvation. A saviour who's done it all already for you. But Enoch reached forwards. And he understood that God was going to bring him back to God, and God was going to send his son into this world, and God was going to provide the righteousness that Enoch needed to be right in the presence of God. He was going to give it to him. It would be the righteousness of Jesus. He knew that Jesus wasn't going to live to show us how to do it, because we couldn't do it. He was going to live to do it for us. And he believed that the Son of God was going to die on the cross for our sins, take everything away that cut us off from God so that we could be drawn into the family of God and we could be loved by God. And he trusted that. He believed in the Saviour that God was going to send. And God was pleased. Didn't that strike you as amazing? God provides his Son. God provides the righteousness. God provides the sacrifice. God provides the place in the family. God opens up his home to you. God calls you his heir, his son and his daughter. God shares the inheritance with you. God reaches out with all of that to you in Christ Jesus. And you reach out in faith and hold on to it. And God's pleased. I find that amazing. What sort of God is this? He's a God of grace. God of amazing, incomprehensible grace. He loves it. He takes pleasure when we, by faith, receive everything from him. He didn't say, work harder and then I'll be pleased with you. He said, believe. Receive everything I've done for you. And that gives me pleasure as I see you exercising faith. So Enoch, if he's going to walk with God, he has to come by faith to Jesus, who God was going to send, and come into a right relationship with God. The next thing is that walking with God means going on pleasing God and going on walking with God. To put it in its New Testament format, we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The picture of the Christian life which God presents as one which is pleasing is one when we go on trusting him and we obey him because we love him and we delight in him. We're taken up with him. We start with faith. It's impossible, the writer to the Hebrews says, to please God without faith. We go on by faith. Sang that together in the hymn. I didn't notice any big gaps where you were disagreeing that you weren't living by faith. The life you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. You go on living by faith. And God sees you needing him every single day, and that goes on bringing pleasure to God. Are you going on walking with God at the minute? There are times when perhaps we lose sight of where we should be. We lose sight of who we should be following. This relationship that we have, walking with Jesus Christ, walking with God, it becomes a memory, not a reality. We started well by faith. We were trusting everything in God, and then we thought we could do it by ourselves, like Peter took our eyes off Jesus and we began to sink. Or we started off well by faith and God just loved the fact that we needed God and we were holding on to God and we were delighting ourselves in God. And then we got so distracted by the cares of this world that they became far more real to us than God. We didn't see that if we could meet the cares of this life walking with our Father, they'd seem a lot smaller. You know, when you're walking with God in times of poverty, you're reminded that your Father owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And that's a way of saying he owns everything, by the way. Because if you're poor, a cow on a thousand hills might not be an awful lot of use to you. But he owns everything. And he can give everything. And he looks after the birds. And he looks after, he clothes the flowers. He'll look after you. why did you stop walking with him? Or we started off well, walking by faith, and we were holding on to Jesus, and we were so excited by Jesus, and then we listened to temptation again. We began to get excited by sin. And we stopped walking closely with our Father, and we got lost, and we got sidetracked, and we got shriveled up inside. We started to get excited by things that we thought were more attractive than God. I don't want to live like that. I want to go on walking by faith every single day, depending on God, needing God, drawing everything from God. I want to be more excited by God as the days go on, not less impressed with God. We're told that Enoch walked for 300 years with God. There seems to be a point after 65 years where his life changed. Did you notice that as Dan was reading it? He lived for 65 years. He had a son called Methuselah. And then for 300 years he walked with God after that. There was a point of change in his life. I think that's his conversion. Maybe something really big happened during Methuselah's birth. It was Methuselah who comes after Enoch, wasn't it? Good. But at that point, he walks with God. And he walks with God for 300 years. It goes on. There's a consistency here, isn't there? There's a strength to his life. I'm sure that he'd say there were times when it was really, really difficult. There's times when I was really struggling and I'd almost let go of God, but I found he hadn't let go of me. It wasn't always easy. If he could speak to us, he'd say, it's not the 300 years that God is impressed with. It's you needing him day by day. You might just have 3 months left. You might have 3 years left. You maybe will have 300 years. That's unlikely. But you might. And Enoch would say, today is the day that matters. Don't worry about the past and the failures of the past, because you have a Father who can deal with the past. You look at where you are today in your relationship with God. Look to him. He's still reaching out his arms to you. And he's still saying, I love to walk with you. I love your company. Trust me. Come closer to me. Grow in my grace. Depend on me. Take my promises. Believe them. And we'll walk together today. And we'll go on tomorrow. And we'll go on for the rest of our days. And you can do that. And I think the next thing that we can say about walking with God is that it suggests that we really, really, really are excited by God. I've already said that God was pleased with Enoch, and I've proved that from Hebrews, that is exactly the case. He was pleased as Enoch exercised desperate, needy faith in God every single day. God said, that's great. I give my grace to the needy. I satisfy the thirsty. Enoch needs me. I love that, and I walk with him. But from the other side, I'm sure that Enoch was so pleased to be with God and so delighted in God. And those 300 years of walking with God, there can't have been a burden or a drudgery for Enoch. And he'd tell us that there is no life comparable, no life that comes near walking with God. It is the most blessed life imaginable. The Bible insists that it is. You find people who are happy in the Bible, who are exploding with happiness, it's because they're close to God. Oh, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the ways of the ungodly, who doesn't go and sit down in the seat of sinners or stand in the path of the scornful. He's the one, rather, who delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He loves being with God, listening to God. Listen to the psalmists who are saying, I cry out for you, I hunger, and I thirst for you, God. You're everything to me. The Apostle Paul says that I've counted everything loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord. He calls it the excellence. That's a superlative, isn't it? That's the high word. There is nothing better, Paul says, than knowing Jesus, my Lord. I've counted everything loss. I've counted my reputation loss. I've put that aside. I've my career, I've laid that aside. My wealth, I'm not interested in that, because I have the excellence of knowing Jesus as my Lord. We would say to Paul, but surely there's something still that you want in life. And Paul says, yes, you're right, there is one thing. I want to know him better. He says, that's why I pray in Philippians chapter 1 that God's going to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we might know him better. As a person living to the highest degree possible, a person who is fulfilled, they have God. They're in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. They are satisfied in God. It's not Bentleys or Ferraris or Learjets or islands in the Caribbean that can satisfy them. It's the one who walks with God. Matthew Henry said, a life spent in communion with God is the pleasantest life in all the world. And however long God gives us, whether it is 3 years or 3 decades or 300 years, I tell you, you will not exhaust God. You will not get to the end of God. There'll still be more to learn about God. Enoch's still learning things about God today, thousands of years later. He's finding more things to be delighted in about God. I was reading the account of Jonathan Edwards, and one time when he was just so overwhelmed by his Saviour. He's a man who would study for many, many years, and knew so much, wrote such great books on theology, knew so much about Jesus. And then he says, once, one day, as I rode out into the woods for my health in 1737, having alighted from my horse in a retired place, as my manner commonly has been, to walk in divine contemplation and prayer, I had this view that was for me extraordinary. I saw the glory of the Son of God as mediator between God and man, and his wonderful, great, full, pure, and sweet grace and love, meek and gentle condescension. This grace that appeared so calm and sweet appeared also great above the heavens. The person of Christ appeared ineffably excellent, with an excellency great enough to swallow up all thought and conception, which continued as near as I can judge about an hour. This kept me the greater part of the time in a flood of tears and weeping aloud. I felt an ardency of soul to be what I know not otherwise how to express, just emptied and annihilated. I wanted to lie in the dust and be full of Christ alone, to love him with a holy and pure love, to trust in him, to live upon him, to serve him, to follow him, and to be perfectly sanctified and made pure with a divine and heavenly purity. Would you like that? One of the great things about that is that what overwhelmed him about Jesus was not his power, but his gentleness. And he gazed upon the humility of the King of Kings, and the grace and the kindness of the King of Kings. And that overwhelmed Jonathan Edwards. He just wanted to go to heaven right there. Well, Enoch did one day. Edwards had to wait a few more years before God took him home. But the lovely thing is that God said to you this evening in Hebrews that he rewards those who diligently seek him. What does he reward you with? Cash? Possessions? Houses? Well, he gives those things, but they're not the reward. If you diligently seek God by faith, God rewards you with God. That's the great reward. He gives himself. He loves to give more and more of himself to you in Christ Jesus. That's what Edwards found here. He was in the right place. I don't just mean in the woods on his horse. He was meditating on the gospel. He was thinking about God. He was searching still for God. He knew so much about God. And yet still, he's going into the gospel, looking for Jesus. Make much of the means of grace that God's given to you. View this wonderful book with all of its history and its prophecy and its letters and its poems as God's love story to you. Read it as the word which he has for you as well as for all of us. Read it as him talking to you as you're walking with him. Enjoy your times of prayer. Don't make them a drudgery. Make them real. Be in that spirit of prayer constantly. Enjoy Christian fellowship. Let's use it more wisely sometimes. And talk to each other about the gospel and the great things of God. You can talk about how the potatoes are doing. That's interesting. We need to have some bridges. But talk about the great big things as well. Don't be afraid to have those that you can share with and who can help you on your walk. Because God's put us together to encourage each other. Make much of things like the Lord's table. Don't just think, oh no, it's the Lord's table this evening. Get home 15 minutes later. It's Jesus inviting us to remember him. And we pray together, Dan, Mike and I, this evening, that we will meet Jesus really powerfully by faith this evening as we come to the table. Be reminded of the extravagance, I forget the word that you used in your prayer, of God's love for us in Christ Jesus and the cost of our salvation. May it melt our hearts again this evening. Walking with God is wonderful because it's what we were created to do. You see that in Genesis 1, Adam walks with God. It's what he was made to do. And we're going to do it again in the future. I mean, really closely. We're doing it now by faith. But there'll be a day when your spirit will walk out of your body and into heaven to be with Jesus. But there'll be a time when you will walk with Jesus on this earth in your body as well. And I was getting to think, why was it Enoch who got taken straight into heaven and not one of the others? Was it that God loved Enoch more than all of the others? That can't be the case because God loves all of his children equally. He loves me as much as you, astonishingly. It's the patriarchs that had problems with who loved who the most and created dysfunctional families. God loves you as he loves his own son. Jesus says that in John's gospel. So it can't be that he gave Enoch this special treatment because he loved Enoch more. I think he did this to Enoch because he wanted to give an encouragement to all of his people. If you do the maths, you'll notice if the numbers are to be taken as they are, and I just can't see any other reason why they shouldn't be, that Adam has just died 20 years earlier, something like that, when Enoch is taken into heaven. You imagine the despair amongst the godly as the first man, Adam, dies. And then God says, but don't worry, I'm going to beat death. I'll give you just a little encouragement. One day when Enoch's out walking with me, I'm going to take his whole body into heaven. I'm showing you that there's a future for the body as well. I'm just giving death a little reminder that it doesn't win. My son, who'll come later, he wins. And he'll lay down his life and he'll take it up again. And one day he'll come back and all of the tombs will be empty. And Enoch will be brought back with Jesus, and Adam's body will be raised, and my body, if I've died by then, will be raised, and they'll be transformed, made like Jesus' body, and we'll walk with him in glory forever. We'll be face to face. But you haven't got to wait till then. You can be enjoying that walk with God now. God enjoys it. And that is the great encouragement to us, that we should be enjoying it as well. Let's pray. Father, that you would want to walk with us and allow us to walk with you is something which is thrilling, it's stunning. We just look at what you did to enable this. You sent your son, you provided the salvation, and all you asked us to do was to trust and obey. We've come with the empty hand of faith to receive everything from you. We go on living our lives by faith, listening to you, believing your promises, walking closely with you. We thank you that your ways are the best ways, that you lead us in ways of truth and safety and righteousness. But we thank you also that you love to walk with us. In fact, you love to walk with us far more than we love to walk with you, because you're always there reaching out your arms to us. And we have to confess there have been times when we've turned our backs upon you. Thank you for not giving up with us. Thank you for always pulling us back to you, and help today us to be so close to you and to go on in faith into tomorrow and the coming days, till that day we walk out of time into eternity and we see you face to face. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.